MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Man Cave Radio Show.
Welcome to the Sully Show.
Masters of None.
Get ready for 360 on 420.
The No Name Show.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Welcome to Alcohol by Volume on MoreLikeRadio.com.
This is Unsigned with Jay Fox.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome back to the Ellis and Albert Show.
You're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
You're listening to Live from the Morgue on MoreLikeRadio.com.
MoreLikeRadio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to MoreLikeRadio.com/downloads. That's MoreLikeRadio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it. But...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
Well, if this is it, old boy, I hope you don't mind if I go out speaking to kings.
I sound posh, but I'm not posh.
Are you taking the piss?
Do yourself a fucking favour, mate, because this is your last chance for a fucking peaceful night.
Recording live from London.
Yes, London. You know, fish, chips, cup of tea, bad food, worse weather, merry fucking poppins, London.
That's Ashley.
Fucking cunt.
And this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Yeah, it's usually Destructoid with Jim Sterling. He's a cunt. Sorry, I'm getting fucking tongue-tied, mate. Throat's dry, sir. None's nasty. But today they publish an article saying they sold 24 million fucking units of useless piece of shit called the Kinect, and they're saying it's slow going. Fuck off. Basically, it's because these arseholes... are putting out shit, basically. About the Wii U, people talk about that being a next generation console, it is not. Wii U sales, not bad, says the Nintendo president. It's also sold at a loss, with bollocks, for Nintendo, albeit a slight, relatively slight one. What a load of crap. Don't believe that for a fucking second, you lying bastards. What a soul full of shit. It's unbelievable.
That guy is a loyal motherfucker. He really is.
I never leave you locked alert with anything.
All of a sudden I can't fucking have a... All of a sudden I can't once in a while just have a pleasant chat conversation with radio sensation Ashley Fuller. Can't even fucking get him to respond to you anymore. I love to talk, mate, but I'm just prepping for my show. How many times can you go to IGN in a day?
We had the VGAs the other day, which I couldn't give three fucks about, but I'll go into that in a second. Despite enough warning signs about server demand during the frenzy, Blizzard did not expect... Jesus Christ, I wish this fucking cunt would actually proofread this shit. I mean, I'm the one who's got to read this fucking crap. I've killed a bunch of people in the game. I want to do it in real life. No one says that. No one thinks that at all. And I say people who do think that that is the least of the violence are basically politicians who have no fucking clue anyway, who've never played a game and who probably think the latest game now is Pac-Man or something stupid like that. I mean, to be honest, if they stop making violent games, we might as well just play in fucking Barbie Horse Adventures.
Halo, well, does Halo have a story?
Hopefully the acquisition means only good things for IGN, its staff, and its post-News Corp iteration. But I hope it means they all fucking die. Says THQ former CEO Brian Farrell, has been my pleasure to work alongside this group of people. No, you haven't. You sat in your office and fuck all day, you lying bastard. Basically pulls the pants down of every fucking gamer. And literally, they just sort of fist us up the arse. But yeah, so yeah. Welcome to the show. And good evening, everyone. Hopefully you're all okay and having a good time wherever the hell you're listening to this and when you're listening to this. If you're not listening live, you're listening on the podcast, you can come to the chat room. It's morelikeradio.com/live on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. UK time. And join in with everyone. There's a whole bunch of people here. Thanks to Jay for the old school wrestling review coming on before me. Bunch of stuff this week. Still a couple of games that I want to talk about which are coming out soon. One that I wish was coming out now because I'm bored, I've got nothing else to play. And something that I sort of have second thoughts about. But so yeah, as usual, this is Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com/live. I say if you want to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to email us, because I've got a topic, I'm working on topics, like some questions and stuff. For next week's show, because I'll have a few things to talk about next week. I actually thought something interesting to talk about. You want to email us, it's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. Facebook group, it's facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. That's between, you know, the lead speakers and myself with Antisocial Game Radio. So it's a joint group for both the listeners and people who like playing games. Also, like us on Facebook, we're up to 60 now. Facebook.com/AntisocialGamerRadio. So if you've liked us already, go and share the page with someone you know and tell them to like it. And if they say no, then punch them in the fucking head. Also on Twitter, MLR Gamer Radio, you know, find out updates on the show, anything new I can think of, and people I like to take the piss out of, which happened yesterday. I was, little story, just interlude before I get into what I've been playing. Because I've liked the for all you wrestling fans that are listening, you're going to love this. There was a post about, what the fuck was it? But Randy Savage is one of the new characters for WWE 14. And they basically said, what was his best moment? And I put, well, when he hit the tree. Some guy wasn't too happy with me, but a whole bunch of other people were, and they thought that was really funny. Which, you know, I think is quite funny too. But yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of new characters. I'm wondering now, because I wanted to get WWE 13, but I don't know if I should hold out and get 14. I mean, 13 looked pretty fun because it was all the old school stuff, but now we've got, you know, Randy Savage. I mean, I think Stone Cold's in it now, and, you know, Ultimate Warrior. Should be lots of fun. But yeah, I'll get into what I've been playing. Well, not too much, but a lot of not too much, basically. I actually sat down, you know, I said last week I was sort of Borderlands out. I actually sat down and sort of powering my way through Borderlands 2 at the moment, or through the DLC. I did the big Game Hunt DLC that we got. Very short. I mean, there's a whole bunch of side missions, but literally I just sort of powered my way through it just to finish off. It was very short. It's literally, I mean, basically you're challenged by some guys, says, come and get me. I want to fight and all this sort of stuff. And then basically you go through a certain number of missions. I think it's like 3 or 4. It's very, very short. And then basically you kill him. You get to a load of loot. Usual bullshit. And plus, you know, I am doing this on my first playthrough. I'm at level 50 now. I'm just doing my first playthrough. And, it's not the new game plus one, it's the one before, so basically all the enemies at level 35 roughly, I'm at 50, I'm just literally just blitzing my way through it just to get it done. But I mean, I do want to go through some of the optional missions when I can be asked, but I'm just doing it now to get it done, to be honest. I mean, we're getting new stuff about new DLC coming out, some stuff I'm not fussed. I mean, playing this has, you know, as I said last week with The Walking Dead, it has re-sparked my interest in Borderlands 2, and, you know, it does make me want to play. But, well, I don't know. But no, I say I did the big Game Hunt DLC, and then I moved on to Tiny Tina's, what the fuck is it called? Dragon's Keep or something. And that is the best DLC
So I'm just reading the chat now. Matty's posting, he says, punch him in the head. Ashley, you, violence is never to be laughed at. Yes, it is. It's very funny. You watch someone, you watch a whole crowd of people, someone slips on the floor, everyone's fucking laughing. Apart from the person who's on the floor, you know. People laugh at other people's disappointments, the way the world works. But yeah, I mean, the Tiny Tina's DLC, lot of in-jokes and references. It's very, very funny. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I mean, it's got all the characters. It did make me feel, I mean, slight spoilers if you haven't got to finish Borderlands 2, but Roland dies, and he's a character in the game, because basically what it is, Jay's asked me in the chat. Yeah, Jay's asking me, he says, do I have any info on the new Bioshock Infinite DLC? Literally, it just came out before I went live. I've got a bunch of stuff. But if someone wants to find it for me and post it in the chat, I will talk about it. Because, I don't have the game anymore because I sold it. But I am happy to talk about it because it actually does look quite interesting. But so if someone wants to find it, just post it in the chat for us and I'll click it. It'll pop up. Be lovely. But, yeah, I mean, Tiny Tina's DLC. I mean, it's a lot more to it than actually the Big Game Hunt DLC was basically... So Hammerlock says, well, yep, come to this place, we're gonna hunt giant monsters, and basically there's a few giant monsters, but everything else is pretty much the same, a bunch of crazy tribesmen, and that's about it. And then there's the guy who wants you to kill him, and you kill him, you get his loot, and that's it. I mean, there's extra missions where it's like hunting eggs and doing other stuff, but, you know, that's not too fussed about that. But Tiny Tina's DLC is basically Dungeons and Dragons. Basically, you're all there, gather around the board game, but you're one of the characters that she plays with. And you've got, you know, there's Mordecai, Lilith, and Brick that are there. And Tina's the game master. And basically, she's saying what's happening, and, you know, you're just doing, you know, you're playing to the Merry Tune. And it's really a lot of fun. And as I said, you know, Roland's dead, and he's one of the characters, he's like the White Knight, and that you have to get to unlock this door. And, you know, it does make me kind of feel sad that, you know, the fact that, you know, I mean, to be honest, I mean, they did that a lot. It was a very Joss Whedon of them with what they did in Borderlands 2 with the characters. Roland gets killed, just basically massacred. And then, Bloodwing, you know, she, it's really bad. I mean, there's not much, thanks for that, Jay. Bloodwing dies. It's like that was Mordecai's bird. That was the special ability that you'd unlock, and where's this fucking thing? Sorry, I'm sort of trying to do two things at once here. I'm trying to multitask and talk at the same time. It's a bit tricky because I am a guy. Ah, there we go. All right, let's open this up. Give me one sec. I'm just looking up the DLC for Bioshock for the show. All right, add that to there. Done. Yeah, and basically, I mean, it's a bit. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's very in depth. I mean, the references and in jokes and that. I mean, talk from one of the previous DLC. He appears in it as one of the gatekeepers, and it does feel more like it's sort of imaginary. There's an imaginary game going on that you're playing. It does feel like a sort of epilogue to the story, to be honest, compared to what we've got. Because basically Jack is back, sort of in this. He was sort of back at the end of Big Game Hunt as well, but. It didn't really feel like him. They got Roland back. And then, you know, Tina's like, I don't know what the fuck, no one said anything to her that Roland's died. Because she's like, has no clue. She's like, well, let's wait for Roland to get here. And then Lilith is like, well, he's not coming. And, it's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, I'm sort of stuck in where I'm supposed to go because I'm a bit lost. But I'm halfway through most of it. And I'm trying to sort of knock it out and get it finished. And then just do some side missions and, you know, just knock out a few more achievements if I can, to be honest. I've got a list of stuff that I want to play. I mean, we had the Metro Last Light DLC come out. I want to pick that up and get into it. there's other stuff. I mean, I do actually want to sit down, go through Call of Duty again, Hitman. There's a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, I've got, I think The Last of Us, I want to go through another get a time. It's a whole bunch of stuff I've got to play. I mean, it's August in a few days. In a few weeks, we're going to get the new Saints Row. Payday 2 comes out, which I want to pick up. We're getting, what do you call it? What am I talking about? Grand Theft Auto. That's in September. That's pretty much in a few weeks. I think 8 weeks from now. We got new screenshots. So if you're not in the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby, get yourself in there. I'll host a whole load of screenshots now that we've got from the new GTA, but I mean, the game's only like 8 weeks away. I still need to pre-order it, but it's going to be fun. And I mean, we've got 8 weeks till it comes out. We're going to get the online trailer, which I'm going to do an analysis of, like I did before with the gameplay trailer. And I'm going to that'll be probably a topic for 1 week, and I'll be talking about that and the fun we're going to have. I mean, I've already talked to a few people on my friends list who are going to pick this up. I think Dark Fox is going to get it. I think he's Dark Fox from, I can't remember his name. the wrestling show that Dark Fox does, Mark Out Radio. There we go. I know he's pre-ordered it already. I haven't, which is a bit naughty of me. But yeah, I say that's worth coming out. But I mean, this has kicked me over the Borderlands DLC, just sort of having fun with that. Just doing stuff and playing games. I mean, I've got Dragon's Dogma, which, I rebought and picked up, and I still haven't done much with that. I need to get into that and sort of crack it slightly just to do something. But I mean, one of the things I have been playing this week as well is Animal Leaf. I'm such a dumbass. Animal Crossing New Leaf. And also, I said I'd give him a shout out. I know James is listening from Pokemania. I need a soundbite of Nate saying shout out. But yeah, if you go on iTunes, look for Animal Crossing, I think it's Town Hall. Animal Crossing Town Hall. It's literally the only Animal Crossing podcast out there. There are 4 episodes already. It's a really, really good show. And so if you're playing Animal Crossing and you like Animal Crossing, you played all those games and you're playing the new one, or whatever, go and pick it up. It's really good. Rotating show of hosts, and tons of good stuff. I mean, they're teaching me tons of stuff. I mean, whenever I wanted to change items, I'd literally go into the menu, but now I've been told that, from listening to them, that you just click the side button and it, switches items, which it's been doing. It's a really, really good show. Up to 4 episodes. I'm hoping the 5th one comes out soon. But I said I'll give them a shout out because it's a really, really good show and tons of information. And one of the women sounds like one of Final Fantasy 11 online. One of the women sounds, I used to listen to Limit Break Radio when they were doing their show, and one of the women on there sounds like one of the women on there. And but yeah, I mean, it's a really good show and it's worth listening to. So make sure you go and download it, leave a review. I'm just bits of paper. There we go. Yeah, sort of made some notes. Animal Leaf, Animal Crossing New Leaf. A lot of fun with it. I'm loving it. I'm doing a lot of time traveling, which for people who don't know is basically there's only so much you can do in Animal Crossing in a day during certain times. I mean, you wake up in the morning. There's new holes that you have to dig up to get fossils or pitfall seeds or whatever special stuff. I mean, there's a rock that you break open that gives you like a jewel, and there's a money rock that gives you shitloads of money. Or if you use a certain item, it gives you more jewels, which you can sell and all that sort of stuff. And then you can shake trees and it gives you items or it gives you coins. Time traveling is basically coming out, doing that sort of stuff, coming out of the game, setting up the time to, a few hours ahead or a day ahead. And basically you're in the next day, and there is no real consequences as such. As long as you do it sort of day by day or a few days at a time, you're pretty much set and okay. And that's basically what I've been doing, sort of messing around with the time. I think I did set it to, but the first time I did try it, I set it towards Christmas. And basically I got into my town, and basically it was like sort of weeds everywhere. I went into my house, there was cockroaches, which I've just now finally managed to get rid of. What was it? Sorry, what else? Yeah. I mean, you know, loads of stuff I have been learning from listening to Animal Crossing Town Hall. Sorry, I'm just reading in the chat. I've heard all the old stuff. Yeah, sorry. Just reading the chat as I do. But yeah, I mean, we're having loads of fun with different things. I mean, I have all the items now. I have, like, the axe, which is a pain in the ass because it breaks, whereas the shovel doesn't. I've got a watering can because my gardening shop's opened up, so now I can plant flowers. Because what I started doing, I got a, what do you call it? I got a, what did I get? Oh, yeah, got a perfect cherry because my fruit of my village is cherries. I managed to get a perfect cherry, so basically I sort of, started my own little orchard for cherries and basically just planting a few trees, and now I've got a whole load. You know, there's other stuff. I mean, I've unlocked the holiday island, the desert island, which is good actually, because that's how I'm making most of my money, which I learned from listening to Town Hall. Basically, go there at night with a fishing rod or your net. Well, you can pick all these items up anyway because you rent them, you borrow them rather, and then basically you see loads of beetles all over the place. They're worth shitloads of money. I've got a few sharks and some bigger fish. And as you're just having fun, just catching loads, put it into my deposit box, and then basically coming back to the town, taking all the items, taking them to the shop, selling them. Because there's loads of stuff that I have been doing. There's the community works project stuff, which is basically you improve your town. I mean, I've built a bridge. I've just upgraded the museum, which is great because it actually gave me a second floor where I was able to buy the silver spade. Which I think is what you need to smash the money rocks and give you jewels, which I've done it, and it hasn't really done anything, so I don't know if there's something I'm doing wrong or not. But yeah, I mean, there's that. There's other stuff. I mean, I unlocked the Dream Suite, which I'll be watching Zach Scott's games on YouTube. I mean, guy's got thousands of subscribers. But yeah, I've been watching him playing and sort of learning stuff as well. But I mean, the Dream Suite doesn't seem like it does anything, but it's something that you build in the town. So basically I just got on it and built it. But I mean, I am sort of working on my house. I have the main bit is fully built and upgraded. And I've got a second floor now, there's other rooms and expansions and stuff, but they want like, $500,000, what do you call it? Oh, what the fuck? Sorry, I've lost my train of thought. What the hell? Yes, it costs like $500,000 bells, which is the currency of the game. And basically, it's going to be a whole lot of nights of me going back to the tropical island and just basically bug hunting and catching fish. And I mean, I love the fishing. I mean, there's medals and stuff as well that you get, which, you know, not so important, but they are quite fun to get. There's this little bear in a scouts type uniform, and he gives you medals. I've got a couple, I think about four or something, like one for, a couple for bug hunting, one for fishing and just that sort of stuff. But I mean, you know, with my orchard that I've started building, I have started, doing a little sort of, flower garden as well. Cause I suppose there's some sort of insect that I can get that's, only appears in flowers. So basically I'm sort of trying to find it. I've missed it once or twice cause I haven't had my net on me. But I'm still sort of doing bits and pieces and waiting to get more. But I mean, it's weird because I mean, I have to time travel to certain things. I mean, I probably will go back eventually to today's date and just set it as today's date. But sort of moving around, doing bits. I mean, I've lost one of my villagers, coach, who was this sort of fitness guy. I think he was a ram or something. But he was pissing me off anyway, so he's gone. Which, you know, to be honest, is no skin off my nose. So I built a bridge. I want to build another one because basically I've made a bridge that's sort of closer to my house. Basically goes across the orchard and is a bit further to the town. It saves me having to walk all the way around the town just to get to the singular bridge. But I mean, I think it's probably nighttime in my game now. So once I've finished doing the show, I'll get involved and do some of that. What else? I think that's about it, to be honest. Just basically trying to make as much money as possible. Waiting for stuff to happen to unlock new events, catching as many bugs and insects as I can and fish. I'm doing quite well on that, I think. I've got over 50% on the bugs and the fish. Just waiting on the paintings to turn up because then I can open up this coffee shop that's there. Still waiting to upgrade the little shops that I can buy stuff in. The shampoo place that's supposed to open up. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I need to open up, and the way I'm going, I'll probably be finished with the game in a couple of months, and it was basically just be sitting there. So I'll just do what I can do, to be honest with it. But it is a lot of fun, and I recommend people to pick it up. And you know, if you want to come to my town, just shoot me a message, and I'll send you my 3DS friends code, and visit each other's towns. So we'll get into the sort of topic tonight, which is basically the same it's going to be for the past couple of weeks, talking about games that are coming out. I'm going to talk about Pokemon and Titanfall. We'll do Titanfall first, because I would probably understand what Matt used to say. He says, Jesus, is actually playing a game or reading a script for Portlandia? I'd probably understand that if I don't watch Portlandia. I think I tried and just lost interest. Titanfall, I watched the trailer again that we got during it was E3. I'm slightly less as impressed as I thought I was, which is probably, you know, blasphemy, everyone's saying. But, I mean, I did watch, from watching that trailer and the trailer for, I think it's The Division. I think that's the game Matty's interested in. I'm more interested, to be honest, in The Division than Titanfall. I mean, Titanfall looks sweet. I mean, the graphics look great. There's going to be tons of fun had by all. But I mean, slight tangent to this. I mean, I was wondering, this game's going to be, it's going to be online only. There's no single player to it. It's basically just online, basically. And I was wondering, is this going to be like a budget title when it comes out? I mean, are we going to have to pay full price? And with, I mean, the Xbox, I've got, I think, a topic as well. The games, Xbox games and PlayStation games are going up in price, as you know, you'd expect. But I mean, will this be the full price game when it comes out? I mean, I know they've said that they're a small studio. They haven't got enough staff to do a single player as well as the multiplayer. But I mean, from what we, just reach over for my drink. But yeah, I mean, it's only a small studio, they said. I mean, is it going to be, are we going to get a half price game out of this? Because, I mean, there's no single player, it's just multiplayer. And most people, I can see them charging full price, but would it be worth, is it the gamer's actual value for money that we're paying for this? Should we be paying full price for basically half a game? There's no single player, it's just multiplayer. There's other stuff as well. Will this lead to basically more games that are famous for their multiplayer just having, for their multiplayer just having out, like, you know, I'm just looking at it now, Call of Duty. Are we going to get an online only Call of Duty? I mean, I know we've got, I think we have actually, out in China, there's that one. I think I talked about it a few weeks ago. And I think Battlefield as well is working on something. Not Battlefield. I think it's Ghost Recon. They're working on some online only game. But I mean, is that the way forward that they want to go? I mean, will this set like a new precedent in, the stuff that we're seeing, that we're getting for this? And if I can click the fucking article, that would be really good. Where's it gone? I am looking forward to this game. Don't think that I'm not. But it just irks me. There's some questions that have popped up that I think. I don't know. I'll wait and see. To be honest, I mean. Yeah, that Matt is basically sort of answering what I'm trying to stutter out. He said, it's a bold move to cut the shit, but because what is the point of Halo besides multiplayer? That's what I'm saying. I mean, you hear it in the intro to the show. It's like what I say about Halo having a story. It has a story, but it's just not a very interesting one, considering that I've tried several times to sort of understand it and get into the story. And all I can see from Halo is everyone loves the multiplayer, you know, since 2... onwards, basically. I mean, you know, I think one had multiplayer as well, but I didn't have that game long enough to give a shit. These games that Call of Duty and Halo, Battlefield, that's all they are. They're multiplayer games. I liked the first Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare game, and the story, you know, but so this is not about the stories. The story for Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, and for Modern Warfare 3, great stories. I love them. They were great. I mean, 2 was basically Red Dawn, and fucking 2 was a terrible story. I did find I didn't like the multiplayer either. But I mean, you know, the multiplayer for 3 is pretty sweet, and you know, Call of Duty 4, one of the best multiplayer experiences I've ever had. It just makes me wonder, if, you know, are they going to want to charge full price? I mean, because I say that Payday 2, that's very, very cheap. I mean, that's going to be a budget title when it comes out, because it is literally just multiplayer only. There's no single player. I don't think there is any single player, but I think it is multiplayer only, because it's just, I mean, if it's not multiplayer, it's just bots, and then someone jumps into your game. I think it's going to be like that, but I'm not too sure. But basically, I mean, this game is, it's going to be, just bring this off Games Radar. It's basically a sci-fi action shooter, mech combat. It's something I'm looking forward to. Vehicles, which, I mean, I watched the trailer, sort of slight, I mean, I was blown away by what we saw first. But yeah, I mean, just sort of looking at it again, giving it a second go, and, sorry, I'm just watching an attractive woman walk past my window. It's just weird that we are, I don't know. Maybe I'm still expecting more. I mean, because I'm sort of bored at the moment because I've got nothing to play and I can't be asked to buy any new games because I'd rather save my money for the big stuff that's coming in a few weeks. And then we've got the new consoles which are coming out and I'll need to save me money for that. But I mean, you know, I'm just wondering. I'm just blabbering. But yeah, I mean, it's done by Respawn Entertainment, who did the Call of Duty series when they were Infinity Ward before basically they were cut in half. But yeah, I mean, it's a sci-fi shooter, which, you know, I like. I'm a big fan of sci-fi games. But yeah, I'm sort of just reading through this stuff. You could be a, you know, male or female pilot of basically. I mean, there's so much that we don't know, but there's so much that, you know, I'm enjoying. Matt is in chats about GoldenEye was the best of both worlds for single player and multiplayer. Yeah, I didn't really play too much on the multiplayer on GoldenEye. I think I played a lot of when I had it on the N64. I think I played a lot of the Duke Nukem 64 multiplayer. That was fun. But yeah, GoldenEye, I mean, I got stuck towards the end and didn't finish it. Sorry, I'm just reading the chat. But yeah, it's basically first person sci-fi shooter. Just Serena here says, considering Respawn is Call of Duty and Medal of Honor before them, that roots, it's no surprise that Titanfall is a first-person shooter, but instead of heading to Omaha Beach in 1944 or an unnamed Middle Eastern country in the modern era, Titanfall was set in a fictional future. It has a bit of Blade Runner District 9 vibe with a narrative focused on corporations trying to steal resources from humans residing on colonized frontier planets. It will take Left 4 Dead's approach to storytelling, though we're not sure if that means it relies on episodic segments, enigmatic narrative, or a mixture of both. Now, this makes me wonder, when the game does come out, I mean, you know, when we play it, if it's online only, is it going to be, is it basically, well, you're going to have a dog, you're going to have, like, you know, your deathmatch, team deathmatch. Are we going to get the same multiplayer stuff that basically every single game that has multiplayer has done, you know, King of the Hill, Flags, and all that, you know, the basic same multiplayer shit that we get in every single multiplayer game. I mean, are we going to get that? Will it? I mean, because that's what makes me wonder. It's like, well, if we're getting that sort of stuff, this game should be a budget title, not a full priced, full price game. In the chat, they're talking about what are they talking about? Devo from Friday and Offensive Ninja. Yeah, Offensive Ninja. He in the Dark Knight, he was the one of the prisoners who chucked the detonation device out of the window, just for him there. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to the game. I really am. I mean, it's after watching that trailer again, it's not one of the ones that I'm actually, you know, it's not on my list of exclusivities that I do really want to get. I mean, I'm just thinking now, actually more interested in did Rising 3. This is mechs play a huge role. While you primarily control a pilot, you can also hop into a mech called Titans to help dominate the battlefield. Controlling a Titan isn't a slow, methodical process as it is in mech sims, such as MechWarrior Online, but rather a fast-paced experience in which which you have the speed for twitch reactions when necessary. But I mean, even the players look like that. I mean, I was rewatching a trailer. It's like one of the players was sort of jumping between the walls and stuff, sort of very ninja style. But I mean, this the Titan stuff looks pretty fun. But I mean, I am feeling down about it because I mean, I do get into multiplayer, but very short burst of time, to be honest. But I mean, we'll see when this comes out. But okay, right. But controlling Titan doesn't guarantee victory, as pilots are agile enough. They can scale the hulking machines and take them out by shooting them in their robot brains. In single player, there is no single player. How old is this article I'm reading? In single player, in control of a Titan, you can order it to follow you around as an AI companion. That makes sense. At which point, it will shoot anything that moves. Pilots have access to data knives, which can be used to hack AI Titans and rewire them into joining your cause. I mean, this is going to be epic combat on, you know, giant battlefield scale. But I mean, they better have some sort of I've just lost the thought in my head. When I say, you know, I said about, I don't want to see the standard missions, the standard game modes that we're getting from multiplayer. I'd rather it be like mission-based events. I mean, we look at stuff like Destiny, and you have the big, because I mean, I watched the rewatch that trailer as well, the 13-minute gameplay trailer we got, and that big sort of live event where there was that big giant tank came down, and it was just, you know, blowing that up. I mean, I want, you know, I want big, massive events like that for Titanfall, where, you know, something needs done and you get about 1,000 people to come and do it, and it all works like that. I mean, we had, I'm trying to think, well, I can't think of the game. It was a PlayStation game. It's not Super Meat Boy. It was something else. Basically, it was, you had to get your character to the moon or something. I can't remember. Anyone's got a PlayStation 3, you sort of feed your character, and he would get longer and longer and longer. And then basically the idea was to stretch him to the moon, and basically that was the whole premise. And I can't even think of what the hell it's called. But yeah, I mean, I want a multiplayer with this, that basically lets us, you know, do something, gives us a challenge. Cause I mean, I'm tired of the me versus him or me versus her. Multiplayer, I'd rather have co-op based missions where you're trying to do something. Now, if you're working together to do an objective, that's great. I mean, I don't mind if you chuck in a bit of, you know, PvP and, you know, whatever. But I mean, you know, I am interested in what's going to happen and how it all takes place. But I mean, all we've got is a trailer and a bunch of information, but we haven't got the sort of information that we'll get when it eventually does go live. And, you know, we do get this sort of stuff. But yeah, details on Titanfall's multiplayer are still pretty scarce, but it sounds like the game is pretty dependent on online connection. This is a mention of the multiplayer campaign, traditional multiplayer mode, which is a competitive offering like Call of Duty, and a one-player mode. Gameplay displays vast open maps full of player-controlled characters, all with option to ride their own mech. I wonder if you can customize your own mech. That'd be pretty sweet. You know, just sort of paint it, or, you know, different parts, and I mean, it opens up to a whole load of different things and ideas. The average lifespan of a player character in the midst of a battle surpasses that of any Call of Duty, Battlefield, or Halo multiplayer match, and some sort of far unrevealed progression system will see. That's what I want to see: some sort of progression system in the game. But yeah, I mean, when the ship that the guy in the gameplay demo was playing, I mean, it sort of blew up, but he able to eject, and it basically just sort of sent him into the air, and then he sort of parachuted down. It will utilize Microsoft's cloud computing service. During the Xbox One reveal conference, Microsoft spent a little bit of time talking about how it will offer cloud computing for next gen games. This will allow developers to offload some resource intensive progress to Microsoft servers, which theoretically means devs can cram more awesome stuff into a game. Yeah, it doesn't really tell as much. I mean, there's so much I want to know about this game because it does look amazing. Runs off Medivide version of the Source engine. Microsoft exclusive. Yes, we knew that. I mean, this is still like a new article, but it's like there's still not much information about it. But yeah, I mean, it's coming out whenever we get it, sometime next year. I think March, April. Hopefully, I think Q1 2014. But yeah, I mean, we're going to have a lot of fun. But what I don't want to see is that we're all let down by it. Well, that I'm let down by playing this, and it's like, well, my multiplayers, I don't really stick long to them, but I mean, it has to do something to make me want to play it. Otherwise, basically, I'm not going to play it. But, you know, we'll wait and see. I mean, we've had one trailer. We've barely touched the surface on what news we do have. It does make me wonder, and it does interest me. All right, now we'll move on to some stuff that I do want to talk about. Pokemon X and Y comes out about 12 weeks, you know, October 12th. Global release date coming out on the 3DS. Japan, the lucky bastards that they are getting it's quite funny, they're getting the golden the golden blue 3DS XL special edition ones, which have the game preloaded onto it. And we got an article yesterday about, you know, us in the UK are getting some little Pokeball that can hold the game cartridge, which is not very interesting, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, I am so looking forward to this. I mean, I'm on a bunch of Pokemon forums and, you know, just talk about this stuff. I mean, I am sort of feeling overwhelmed with the information that we are getting. There's stuff we know and there's stuff we don't. I mean, we don't know how many Pokemon that we are going to get eventually. Some people are saying 100, 150. I'm not too fussed. I mean, I'm trying to find something to tie me to the game to make me care. I mean, all I did was basically, once I'd finished my Black and White 2 versions was just breeding Pokemon, and that sort of made me happy. It was sort of, that's what I did until, the VGCs back, was it in June, April, something, you know, back in the early times of this year. A couple of months ago. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I am. I mean, it's set in the Kalos region, which is basically, you know, from the images that we got, it's France. And it was quite funny when we had, I think it was like an E3 talk with the developers. And so, you know, said, well, asking about why it's set in France. And the guy was like, well, what do you make you think it looks like it's set in France? And basically, because it looks like it's set in France, because the whole Kalos map is, you know, basically France, and there's a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, I watched a bunch of trailers from, I think Masuda, said about how they went to France. I just checked out different locations for the game and different parts of the history of France. But I mean, I do feel kind of weird. It's like, yeah, you have a Pokemon game and you set it in France. I mean, it would be much better if they set it in England. That would be so much more interesting. I mean, Unova was America. We've already had a bunch of, Gen 1 to 4 was Japan, parts of Japan. I mean, you know, France is next. I mean, what do you go for next? Do you go for Russia or China or something like that? I do sort of knock it slightly, but I am super looking forward to it. I mean, we got a bunch of new information. The professor, Professor Sycamore, he looks a pretty... You know, he looks like younger than... I think they're actually going for sort of younger professors now. I mean, we have Professor Oak from the first one, and then... they all starting to look younger and younger. I think Professor Elm, he was quite young. And then... just trying to think... I can't remember the hell's the guy's name. I think it was for Gen 4. Sort of stern-looking guy. He was quite old and... mean looking. But yeah, I mean, we get a whole bunch of new ones. Yeah, I mean, even with so much information that we do have, there's still so much that we don't. I mean, I've said to people, the more information we are getting now is like stuff that I don't really care about. I mean, yes, we're getting all the names of Pokemon. We're getting, you know, this Chespin and Froakie, which is a water type, which is, you know, who I'm probably going to start with. But yeah, it's just, I want to know about the weathers. I want to know about seasons. I want to know about very basic stuff, stuff that, I mean, I'm more interested in learning about the customization of characters in this now. The start of the game, you start off in front of a mirror and you customize your character. You could be a boy or a girl, as usual. And then you can change your hair color, your skin color, and then they've got clothing, which, I mean, it's quite weird, actually. So I'm scratching my nose. Looking at some of the stuff we're getting, because there's like a, I think it's the PPS system, which is like player profile something. I'm not sure. But it's like for people who are near you. And they show off different characters, like game characters. I think some people are just starting to realize that's the customization of different items that you're going to get. You can customize your clothes, which I'm good. I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to some special stuff. I mean, as I say, I'm playing, sorry, my nose is going bloody hay fever. But, as I say, I'm playing Animal Crossing New Leaf, and in the shops, you can get fortune cookies, which cost two star coins, which are basically your pedometer on the 3DS, and you walk with it, get coins. Basically, you use two, and it gives you an item, and basically, the item is usually a Nintendo item, the Nintendo branded, you know, I mean, I've got some hero pants, which are Link's trousers, and I've got like some red shells and a mushroom and a bunch of other stuff, like all Nintendo stuff. But I mean, I'm wondering about certain things. It's like, well, can we do something like that in Pokemon X and Y? I mean, I'd love to have, you know, the traditional red costume that, you know, Ash's or Red's costume from, you know, the first game or the anime. Matt is in chat about there, Bitcoin's a PlayStation. Probably. I mean, I remember listening to the Fifth Circle and they were talking about Bitcoins. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, Matt is in the chat. He says, I wonder if Xbox will replace its point system with this. Well, I mean, Xbox has already replaced its Microsoft points with actual real money now. When they changed over my points, I think I've actually got a nice bit of a bump. I got a bit of a bit extra when I had my points changed over to real money. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to, you know, to finding out if we do get, you know, if we do use, I mean, because I want to know what these coin things, you know, if we can use these coin things. I mean, I've had my DS in my pocket for a few weeks, just walking up and down for every 1,000 steps and getting, was it 10 coins or something? That's the max I'm getting a day. And basically, I'm maxed out at 300 now. So I want to use them for something apart from, you know, Animal Crossing. But I mean, yeah, we get the usual type. I mean, you know, your grass, water, and your fire. And we got, Chespin, the grass type, Froakie, the water type, and Fennekin, the fire type. And, you know, it is quite funny if people keep saying he's like, well, sort of Vulpix, but as a starter. And then you've got Xerneas, who is the fairy type, who's the stag. I mean, everyone's saying he looks like, if anyone's seen Princess Mononoke, he's like, basically looks like that, the tree spirit, I think the forest spirit. And you've got Evil Tor, who's the dark flying sort of vulture type thing. It looks pretty cool anyway. But yeah, I mean, we're getting others. I mean, Sylveon, the fairy type, because new type now, fairy, which, you know, I'm not too fussed about. But I say it's going to be like the dragon killer, but which is bullshit considering that we had the ice type, which can do that. But there's no fucking strong, no strong ice types. Well, there is a few, but nothing super powerful. I mean, yeah, you can't really use, Kyurem to, official nationals match because he's a legendary. But I mean, you got Cryogonal and Beartick and Glaceon. Glaceon's a powerhouse. You know, use them for taking down your dragons. But hopefully, fairy will be something. Well, I mean, we're getting a bunch of fairy types. And then there's just looking at other stuff here. Is that the Awakened Mewtwo? There's a new form for Mewtwo. No idea how it transforms. I mean, I'm hoping actually we're getting a Mewtwo in X and Y. I mean, that's the thing. That's another thing as well. You know, I said about very simple basic stuff. We still haven't found out if we can transfer our Pokemon from White and Black to X and Y, which is a big, I hope so, because literally, I mean, I spent about 60-70 hours playing through Soul Silver again just to get the legendaries, just so I can send them over to my Black 2 copy that's, you know, fully 649 Pokemons all, you know, all collected together. I don't know. I hope so, because otherwise what basically makes what I've done completely fucking pointless. But again, there's other ones as well. Helioptile, who's this sort of electric Pokemon. Looks kind of shit, to be honest. Fletchling, which I'm actually interested in. This little Robin Pokemon. There was a whole bunch of Pokemon pictures of like Fletchling as a Robin and a Crobat as Batman, which have been popping up, which are quite funny actually. Fletchling evolves into, if I can find out what it is, Talonflame, which is gonna be a fire flying. And Talonflame looks like a badass. I really want that one. And Pancham, who's this, you know, Kung Fu Panda type one, who evolves into Pangoro. And basically, you know, another bear Pokemon. Go-Go, which looks like a complete waste of time. But they're saying that now you can ride Pokemon in this. I have no interest in riding Pokemon. I mean, we do it already with, Fly and Surf. I mean, because of that, people are saying maybe we're getting rid of the hidden moves. It would make sense considering the fact that in Black and White 2, I think they did it in Black as well, Black and White, the first ones. You could instead of using the TMs and they just disappear, you can carry on using them, which basically means they're just as exactly the same as HMs, the hidden moves, because you can use them again and again and again. But, well, I don't know, we'll see. I mean, because, you know, there's so much stuff. There's others, Clauncher, I mean, they've always talked about the, separate ones. I mean, Clauncher here can only be caught in X version, and you've got Skelp, who can only be caught in Y. Skelp is basically looks like a sort of seaweed dragon type thing, and Clauncher is this little shrimp, which they both look pretty cool actually. I wouldn't mind playing, because one's water type, one's a poison water. But then you've got other stuff, you know, the usual butterfly one, Scatterbug into Spewtwo, and you know. And there's some sort of lion cub one, which doesn't really look like a lion. Lit Leo looks more like a bear, to be honest. And for Bebe, who's this fairy type, supposedly like the smallest fairy type, smallest Pokemon ever. And it just holds onto a flower. And you got this sword one, which looks pretty, I don't know, it could be cool. It's a Steel and Ghost Hone Edge. It's basically this big giant sword that you use. There's others as well that we're getting, Swirlix. Fucking one that, I mean, this is what I find stupid. This one looks like a fucking, basically a cotton candy. and that's what it is. I think it's going to be, it's a fairy type, and basically it just, it's a cotton candy. I mean, we've already got with Vanillite, Vanillux, the ice cream one, and I don't know. Some of these ones are a bit, I don't know. I mean, I do really think they're running out of ideas. I know Justin from Striton Radio, he would shout at me because for saying this, but I mean, Garbodor and Trubbish are terrible looking Pokemon. They're probably really good to use, but they're just the artwork looks terrible. It does make me feel sad for, you know, just for seeing it. It's like, well, the artists have run out of ideas that obviously, you know, with, you know, a cotton candy Pokemon, an ice cream Pokemon, a bag of rubbish that's a Pokemon. It's like, you know, just, you're running out of shit, you really are. Just sort of go through other stuff as well that I'm looking through. There's new moves as well, as usual with the fairy type stuff. But yeah, we've got, they're already talking about the new gyms. First gym's going to be Viola, and basically she's a bug type, so, you know, get your fire ones ready. So if you choose Fennekin first, this is all revolving as well, because I'm sort of where they are in the anime now. Dubbed version, they're just showing Ash has come back to Kanto, and he's sort of wandering around, and then he meets all the Pokemon from Kalos. You know, you know, I'm looking forward to when they do get eventually seeing the new ones. I mean, I am on several YouTube pages sort of looking at the Japanese anime and watching it there, but to be honest, there's no subtitles, so it's basically double Dutch to me. There's something I talk about here is that multiple rivals, there's like several friends that you'll have depending on which gender you choose, which, well, I'm not so fussed. I mean, I know I'm going to be the boy character. That'd probably be something to try. I mean, I'm going to get both versions and just be a boy character on one version and the girl character on the other. Which means I'll need to buy a second 3DS as well. Maybe, if I can be asked to spend the money on something like that. We'll wait and see. But yeah, I mean, there's this, yeah, the new player search system, the PSS, not PPS, that's for finding people. But this thing looks, Pokemon and Me. Basically, it's Nintendogs for Pokemon. You can touch a Pokemon and feed them. And I mean, I'm guessing that's more interactivity with them, which, you know, it's good if it actually does something beneficial. I mean, they talk about saying it might benefit battles. So they're sort of opening up what you can do with fights, you know, instead of having it just, what do you call it? You know, EV training, IV training, IV breeding, EV training to make them better. You're doing other stuff. So maybe we'll get more different stat bars that make it more apparent to, you know, what we want to see from how we're training our Pokemon up, which will be interesting. But I mean, there's other thing as well they got here. There's horde encounters, which I think it's stupid. To be honest, it's very simple. It's basically your Pokemon against, you know, one Pokemon against like five or six. I think it's five. Yeah, I think five is the maximum. It's basically to take them all out. You know, I mean, there's a whole lot of experience points to be get. But I mean, all the shots that we're getting, like screenshots and footage, is basically of a higher leveled Pokemon that the character's using against a bunch of weaker ones. I was like, well, surely if you're battling against, I mean, this might be a way of sort of, you know, sort of getting better experience like quicker than having to, well, you fight like five ones at about 10 levels lower than you, instead of someone who's at your level and you survive but get so much experience points, but then you basically, you've been beaten down, you have to go to the Pokemon Center and get healed. But I don't know. But I mean, we got stuff like Sky Battles, which interests me a bit. I mean, changes up the gameplay, but I mean, it's all 3D. You know, it's all 3D battling anyway. So basically we're getting all the information that we did have, we're going to have how Pokemon looked in the stadium, Coliseum, you know, all the N64 arena style fighting Pokemon games. It's going to look like that, and it's going to be amazing. Pretty much sort of wraps it up slightly. There's only so much I can talk about, to be honest, because the important stuff I don't know yet. This is quite funny here. There was someone asked at the one of the conferences, is the game still going to have one save cartridge, like one save slot? And I was like, well, of course it is. No, this is me. I'm just thinking, well, of course it is. Why would you need two when you just buy another game? You know, it's just, if you don't like what you got, just restart the game again. But it doesn't really matter, to be honest, what you do in the game. I mean, because X is different to Y, because there's Pokemon you can get in one, the Pokemon you can't get in the other. It's whatever. It's gonna be fun when it comes out. And basically, you know, I want to play Pokemon as much as with as many people as I can, and, you know, including the listeners. So, you know, drop us an email. It's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk, and I'll send you my, you know, or just message me on Facebook, or, you know, on, you know, in the group on Twitter. I'll send you to me 3DS code, and basically when the game does come out, we'll play together. It's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, that pretty much wraps it up sort of for this week. I mean, I do have something planned for next week, which I probably won't go into this show because I haven't had a chance to sort of sit down and study what the ideas that I've written down. But I say, you know, get yourself in the Facebook group and on the Facebook page, like it, and you'll find out once I've thought of it. But we're going to take a quick break, and I'll be back in about 10 minutes or so, as soon as I can click this fucking thing. And basically, I'll be back in a few secs.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back. MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Tuesday nights on More Like Radio, it's the show about beer that apparently everybody's talking about.
He has his own show.
No, he doesn't.
He has a podcast.
What, prove it?
Alcohol by Volume.
He talks about beer. How hard is it at?
Alcohol by Volume.
He talks about beer. How hard is it at?
Because it's a show on our network.
Alcohol by Volume.
No.
Who does the show?
Atticus.
Who?
Atticus, why does that sound?
Because he's the guy that syncs up our audio when we screw it up.
Kevin.
Great at video, horrible at everything else in his life.
Well, yeah, because Atticus was a fan, and then he became a staff person, and then he became a show host. Very integrated with us. I mean, he has a More Like Radio t-shirt.
He sounds great. We should get him to host a show.
He does
on
have
the station.
He does have a show. It's called Alcohol by Volume.
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesday nights, 6 to 8 p.m., only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at AdamandEve.com.
The Cousin Joe Show.
And I'm sitting in the chair. He did the barber cock touch.
What the fuck?
This is what it is.
Dude, where are you going to get your hair cut?
Listen to me.
Where are you going?
See how I'm sitting right now?
Yeah, I do.
Where are my elbows?
Outside the...
They always go around the side. And where the fucking... The height of my elbow is always their dick. He reaches in and his cock touches my elbow. And the thing is, like, I can't immediately jerk away because that looks like...
Now you know you touched it.
Right, I'm acknowledging a cock touch. So instead, I just leave it there and let him rub his dick on my elbow.
Dude! Did he go back and forth?
That's when you could tell.
Did he go back and forth ever, like, fast? Not fast.
I wonder if guys do play games or get the barber hard, kind of wiggle their elbow.
Nobody does that, Joe!
Well, weird faggots. Who knows?
You're fucking weird.
Insane.
Tune into the Cousin Joe Show live Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh boy!
I told you.
Yeah, I was trying to warn you the whole time,
dude. I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude. Like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night, but he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not use this into a promo? I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo too. You remember?
Punch AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my god, it's hilarious! Let's say it three more times.
Oh, gotta save you, gotta save my soul. Oh, but down, bow, down, wow, diddy, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Here's your seat.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Ollie.
I haven't been to bed. Me and Mike met up with these two Scottish guys in the pub and they gave us all this cheap speed.
Tim, that's so tacky.
Yeah, I know. You know, they were so nice. I think if we'd have said no, they'd have got offended and beaten us to death with a pool cue.
Where's Mike now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi, Brian.
Put him up back. What are you playing? It's a subtle blend of lateral thinking and extreme violence. What? Like it's a knockout. Did you want something? No, not really. Oh, there's a letter here for you. Came yesterday. It's open. Yeah, I opened it by accident because we've both got eyes in our names. It's from Vulva. Oh, yeah, is that another woman's magazine? Vulva, it's an old friend. She's having a show tonight. You got a friend called Vulva? Who's called Vulva? Real name's Ian. You mean her real name's Ian? She's non-gender specific. Oh, what, you mean he's a tranny? More than that. What, big fat tranny? Vulva. Had a multimedia performance art partnership before she moved on. Such aesthetic wonders. Such vibrant times. Yeah, I can imagine. No, we did valuable work. She was the beautiful one, really. I just danced to her tune. It was purity. It was physical. I mean, not in a sexual sense. No, we were collaborative. I don't expect you to understand. Most people don't want to hear, they just switch off. It's hard to hear the story of a love affair between two straight men, one of whom is the most divine woman alive. So you're gonna go? I don't know, I haven't seen her for ages. No, I mean, are you gonna go now? Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to the second part of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Got a whole bunch of news for you this evening, and a bunch of interesting stuff from basically how I collected it anyway. Fez 2, anyone was looking forward to that, has been cancelled. Phil Fish announced that production has ceased on Fez 2. The news broke on Fish's personal Twitter account, where the developer wrote, "I'm done. Fez 2 is cancelled. Goodbye." This was followed shortly by a more formal statement made via official Polytron account, the company co-founded by Fish in 2008. It's with a hearty, heavy heart that we announce that Fez 2 has been cancelled, is no longer in development. We apologise for this disappointment. I mean, it does make me wonder because, I have watched the indie game, the movie, and I'm surprised why he even bothered making a Fez 2. I mean, the first one's great. Everyone loved it. It was amazing. But the amount of the trouble and the shit he went through and trying to get the money to develop this, even to make the first one, why the fuck would you make a second one? And, you know, to all indie game developers, I doubt you can all hear me, why the fuck do you bother making games? If you're on your own, do something simple like fucking phone games or something, but don't do stuff, for arcade titles, because basically indie stuff, because no one fucking plays them and no one cares about them. But I'll carry on reading. It's unclear why the production had ceased on the very recently announced game. We only found out about Fez 2 last month, but the announcement was made in a wake of a very public spat Fish was having over Twitter. Yes, because everyone was calling him a cunt and a twat. We refrained from reposting these tweets here since the argument has not been cited as the reason behind the game's cancellation, which it probably was. In fact, it is in a fresh blog post, Fish says the decision can not be attributed to a single reason and was due more to the cumulative effect. Basically, he got tired of the piss taken out of him. Sorry, I'm just reading. There's an update on this. Yeah, here we go. Update on this. Phil Fish has subsequently tweeted to confirm that the decision to end the production of Fez 2 was not down to a recent Twitter disagreement, but more general desire to leave the world of games due to the abuse he has received. Yeah, basically, he says, to be clear, I'm not cancelling Fez 2 because some boorish fuck said something stupid, tweet Fish. I'm doing it to get out games. Dude, you only made one. It was really good, and no one fucking cares. So, I don't know. I wouldn't mind having a chat with this guy. But to be honest, though, if he's leaving the games industry, it's no big loss. To be honest, no big loss for anyone. Because to be honest, I don't even think when Fez did come out, they actually made the money. It made enough money to keep it going. All right, let's have a look. Here we go. Saints Row 4. Refused classification in Australia again. A three-member panel of the Australian Classification Review Board has unanimously agreed Saints Row 4 in its original form will remain refused classification. In the reviewed board's opinion, Saints Row 4 does not meet the R18 plus classification guidelines as proscribed drug use related to incidents at a reward is forbidden. I'd love to find out what they're going to do with fucking GTA 5 when that comes out. Because, if Saints Row can't get in, there's no way that GTA 5 is going to get in. For now, Saints Row 4 cannot be sold, hired, demonstrated or advertised in Australia. The review board met on Monday 29th of July, which was yesterday, in a response to application form, Koch Media, to review the original decision made by the classification board on June 19th, to classify sport, Saints Row, 4 refused classification, an alien anal probe weapon and a side mission that featured use of alien narcotics related to in-game superpowers, were the reasons the classification board cited for the ban. An Australian editor of Saints Row 4, which we imagined wouldn't omit the anal pro weapon and the drug-related side mission, was available to play at PAX Australia. With this in mind, why Koch shelled out for a review of the original decision is unclear. Undead Labs stated Decay, which was refused classification in Australia less than 24 hours after Saints Row 4 for prescribed drug use related to rewards, was tweaked by developers' reference to real-world drugs and stimulants were changed. So it'd be quite funny when now this whole new classification board stuff, when Fallout comes out as well, the drug use in that. It'd be interesting. We'll see how it goes. The subtlety adjusted. With Fallout, they changed the names of the actual drugs, but it was still pretty much the same stuff that you were using. So for everyone in Australia who's listening, there are other ways to get this game. Just rent it, I'd say. Import it, and that'll be easier. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to playing this. Some people in Australia aren't going to get a chance to. But, I'm not too fussed. I mean, you can read on Wikipedia and find out about what happens in the game and that sort of stuff. Here we go. Tomb Raider comic will lead directly into the sequel. Globetrotting Adventurers set shortly after 2013 series reboots. A new Tomb Raider comic will lead directly into the sequel to Crystal Dynamics' well-received says well, we'll see 2013 series reboot, but to be honest though, they didn't make enough money that they thought they were going to make out of this. But that's not bad actually. According to veteran writer Gal Simone, who does all the Wonder Woman stuff, announced by publisher Dark Horse Comics at San Diego Comic Con and due for release in February 2014, the comic is set shortly after the events of the game and will take Lara on a globe trotting adventure. Gal Simone said, I chose to do this series solely because I love the game so much. So we're definitely keeping the tone of that game. I always love the classic cool Lara Croft, but this feels like her origin story. Like we've seen her before, she becomes the icon. It's very compelling to me. The storytelling in the game hooked me instantly. The biggest difference is the game holds a claustrophobic story in an isolated setting. We're going globetrotting, Simon continued. We just start a few weeks after the end of the game, and this is continuity. There we go. It will be Tomb Raider canon and lead directly into the sequel. That is what we got. That is what got me excited. We get to be part of the Lara Croft history. Despite releasing the widespread critical acclaim, publisher Square Enix said in March that Tomb Raider was among a number of its major console releases that failed to meet sales targets. Yeah, that's basically, I mean, just lower your targets, to be honest. But, I mean, this game sold so many. I mean, the next one is going to sell twice as many as this one sold, considering how well this one did amongst reviewers and people. I mean, this game was amazing. It really was. I mean, and Gail Simone, you got right in the comic. Now, she does a lot of the Wonder Woman stuff. She does a lot of the female perspective. She does a lot of the female perspective sort of superhero and, characters, basically. And, you know, I think my sister's read a lot of her stuff when she did the Wonder Woman stuff, and she said she loved it. So this is pretty going to be pretty interesting when it does come out. What else we got? Let's have a look. Right, where was that? I was looking at something. Here we go. I've got a bit of movie news, all gaming related. Street Fighter, Legends of Chun-Li writer, boards Dead Space movie. Street Fighter Legend Chun-Li screenwriter Justin Marks is scripting the live action adaptation of the video game Dead Space. It was revealed during a video game movies panel at yesterday's San Diego Comic-Con. This is about a week or so ago. Mark said his challenge is to do something new and interesting, intriguing, with the Dead Space movie, and not simply rehash the actions of the game, which is fucking what we want. We want to see the game, but in a movie. Well, to be honest, I mean, it's Event Horizon or Aliens. You would be making Event... Yes, I love that. I just basically what I said, I'm just quoting something. Now it says, you would be making Event Horizon or Alien, he said. I've already seen that movie. Well, the fuck, where do you think they fucking got the ideas from, dumbass? EA hopes a Dead Space movie will launch a big screen franchise based on the horror sci-fi game. Patrick O'Brien, who oversees the film division of EA, said the Dead Space movie will be shot to studios once the latest draft of the script is complete. Philip Gillette, Europa Report penned the previous draft for the script. I'm looking forward to a Dead Space movie. I hope everyone else is, but to be honest though, it's the writer for Street Fighter Legends of Chun-Li. That film bombed. It was a terrible fucking movie that no one wanted. It does make me sad that they've got this guy doing it. It's sort of a sad day, but we are getting we're getting something. Matt just posted something in the chat, which I'm not going to click on because I have no idea how it'll play with the audio, of me talking. But yeah, also, the Gran Turismo movie has been greenlit. A Sony Computer Entertainment spokesperson, is that time already? So I'm just looking at the time, just making sure I've got enough time to get through everything, has confirmed to Joystick that a Gran Turismo feature film is being made. While the Sony rep wouldn't provide any further comments, the confirmation came in response to an article posted earlier this week by Hollywood blog The Wrap, which claimed that The Social Network and 50 Shades of Grey co-producers Mike DeLuca and Dana Brunetti are attached to the project. Jesus Christ. That's kind of sad, to be honest. The producers for The Social Network and 50 Shades of Grey. Jesus Christ, they're still making... How can you make 50 Shades of Grey into a movie? It's called Porn. And Social Network, I think that's on Netflix. I like Facebook, but I don't like it enough to want a fucking movie about it. And consider that most of the stuff in it is factually inaccurate anyway. Gran Turismo is Sony's best-selling PlayStation franchise to date, with unit sales of 70 million. The original Gran Turismo launched in Japan in December 97, and Gran Turismo 6 is set for release this holiday on the PlayStation 3. Jesus, is it me or just feel like they're churning out Gran Turismo? I mean, there was so many years. I mean, just I do think that's quite funny considering that we've been after we were after Gran Turismo 5 since the PlayStation 3 was launched. We get it about a year or so ago. And now we're getting Gran Turismo 6, literally in a few months. It's a bit... It does make me feel that Gran Turismo 6 is going to be like the game that they did want to make, or basically an add-on to 5. So I'll carry on. Series creator and polyphonic digital boss Katsunori Yamauchi has said that a PlayStation 4 PlayStation 4 version may be on the cards. And basically, well, yes, of course, because Microsoft has Forza and you've got Gran Turismo, which no one likes because it's crap. DreamWorks is currently making a big screen adaptation of EA's racing franchise Need for Speed, starring Aaron Paul, that'd be cool, from Breaking Bad. While Sony and Insomniac announced a Ratchet & Clank film in April, I'm more interested in the Ratchet & Clank movie than any of the stuff. I mean, we're still getting stuff talking about, I mean, Matt's in the chat. Days of Thunder 2. What was that fucking movie with Stallone? Was it Driver? Was that called? With the blonde bird from Planet of the Apes. Get on there, Matt, have a look. What's that fucking Driver movie that Stallone did? I mean, I know they tried to make, I think it was Tokka, the touring car, they had to sort of make that sort of movie-ish and give a storyline to it, to a racing game, which was funny, but it's just, I'm laughing on the inside, I really am, and on the outside. Death Race 2000, no, not Death Race 2000, the other one that Stallone did, the recent one, that was like 10 years ago, not Death Race 2000, that was like, that was in the 70s, when you were like 40. The hell was it? It had, you know, the blonde bird from Planet of the Apes. I can't even remember what the fucking name is. Shit. But yeah, I mean, you know, a Gran Turismo movie? I mean, what's the fucking plot line? What is the plot? I mean, it's worse trying to, I mean, you know, what's going to be worse? The Gran Turismo movie or the Battleship movie? What's going to be worse, eh? You got both games that have no stories. They're just games. You play them and that's it. What's going to be worse? Come on, tell me. Fucking, it makes me laugh. Something else. It's not exactly movie news as such. Hang on. If I'm looking at it right. One sec. Here we go, yeah. Battlestar Galactica writer collaborating with Sony Santa Monica. Michael Angeli is a television screenwriter best known for his work on Battlestar Galactica, Caprica, and Monk. But according to a story on Polygon, Angeli is said to move into the stream of writing video games. Oh, that could be cool. At San Diego Comic-Con, Battlestar Galactica's panel... why did they have a panel? Jesus Christ, Battlestar Galactica ended years ago. Why have you got a panel for it? Jesus Christ, I mean, San Diego Comic-Con, it's... you don't need all these fucking panels for shit that no one cares about. I mean, I love Firefly and Serenity, but you don't need a panel for it. Yes, it's been 10 years, and no, we're not going to get it come back as much as we want it to, because Joss Whedon's too busy trying to make The Avengers 2, and giving a reason for Tony Stark to be in it again. Santa Monica is best known for its God of War games, but God of War has no story. It's basically a hack and slash. But Angeli stated that the project he's working on isn't God of War. Oh, thank fuck for that. I didn't need to play God of War. I still haven't played any of those games. He told Polygon that he's been working on a game for over 2 years, and that the team that worked on God of War Ascension, a team of about 150 people, has fully transitioned into the game. His experience indicates that Sony Santa Monica's new game could be the sci-fi in the sci-fi genre. That could be cool. But the exact nature remains unknown. We've reached out to Sony for comments. This is from IGN, by the way, and they got fuck all in reply. Has Matt found that game yet? No, he hasn't. He's saying fuck the Avengers. No, Avengers was great. Iron Man, the first one, was great. Second one, it was kind of shit. It was basically look at Scarlett Johansson for an hour and a half. And Iron Man 3, that watching that film was really put me off listening to fucking AC/DC. This is all talk for the nerd hour. Friday, Saturday mornings after brains do. Other stuff here that I wanted to talk to you a lot about because I actually find it quite funny. I think I found it quite funny. One sec. Where was it? Here we go. Rise, Son of Rome looks for redemption. How a profile Xbox One game tries to gain to WoW gamers. Okay, right. Did no one see this game? Rise, Son of Rome looks fucking amazing. Did you not see the fucking gameplay yet? This game looks amazing. I'm more interested in this than I am for Titanfall after watching the Titanfall trailer. You're a Roman soldier. Did you not see the gameplay? You jumped off a boat. You were being shot at by fiery balls in catapults. This game looks amazing. While there's been a lot of talk about the visuals and the subject matter, Microsoft's Roman era third-person action game for Xbox One did not, by many accounts, demo well at E3 last month. For an epic focused on visual, stunning cinematic melee combat, the seemingly scripted combat. Of course it was screaming scripted combat. It's E3. None of those fucking videos you see are real. They're all scripted and pre-done. Because if you fuck up at E3 and you make a mistake and your video crashes, you look like a fucking tit. That's why they do all this shit. It happened a couple of years ago. I think it was Gears of War 3 or Gears of War 2 with Cliff Bleszinski. He was playing demo in the game. But there's pictures on the internet, you can go fucking look at it yourself, of some guy who's supposed to be playing the game with the Xbox controller, and the controller's, the light on it's spinning around because it's actually trying to find the console, and there's nothing. He's just fucking pressing buttons because it was scripted. It's already played, they're just playing a video, which I'd rather they did. I mean, you know, if we buy it based on what we're seeing, a scripted video, then, and we don't like it, then it's fucking bully on us. But they have to do this scripted stuff because otherwise you look like a tit, like fucking, was it Miyamoto did with Skyward Sword, and he was fucking around with it and the game broke because it was shit. It wasn't ready yet. And, you know, he looked like a fucking dumbass. Jesus Christ, these people. Get Carter. Fuck you, would you get Carter? The demo showed the same Cliffs of Dover level, which... I've skipped a bit. The developers of Rise immediately assumed to me that... This is from IGN. Combat is varied and dynamic. Of course it is. It's a Roman soldier game. You're not just doing same old shit. Have you never played a game where you're using a sword or a shield? I mean, I could point dozens of games. Dynasty Warriors, Medieval. There's tons of games, basically, where you sort of sword and shield combat focused. Skyrim, Oblivion, every sort of PC game that seems to have that sort of combat style. But after seeing the demo play at Comic-Con, I'm not sure the message is coming through. Fuck the people at Comic-Con. Tell them to fucking have a bath as well, smelly cunts. The demo shows the same Cliffs of Dover level, which is very clearly a sort of classical era D-Day, complete with galleys surging through the surf, legionnaires storming up the beach, and believe it or not, a close call with an artillery shell that layers a familiar gauze muffle filter over the subsequent action. It's not so much Spartacus as it's Private Private Ryan, which is what I got. I got that whole Saving Private Ryan type bit. I mean, it was very Medal of Honor frontline. The team admits a bit to a bit of historical reinterpretation. Of course, it has historical reinterpretation because it's like a movie's, you know, people say about, you know, cowboy movies, you know, saying about how that the West was never like that. Of course it is. You play it up for dramatic effect. It's called lying. Jesus Christ, come on, people. You can't be this fucking stupid. Nothing is ever as it seems. I mean, I can't go around with a gun in, like, Call of Duty, shoot a bunch of people, get a kill, get shot a few times. If I go to cover and wait for myself to heal, it doesn't work like that. There are no health packs that make me instantly better, or I can't hide on a corner until the red screen in front of my face has stopped being red. It doesn't work like that. Come on, people. These are video games. It's not real life. Of course they're going to fucking do this shit. You stupid fucking bastards. But won't say any more on the subject for fear of spoiling some future surprises. Rise is undoubtedly one of the most cinematic action games of the year, with exactly the same sort of scripted oh wow moments that you'd expect to find in a Call of Duty. Well, yeah, where do you think they get the ideas from, and how do you think they make it so that it does that well? Watching this ballista demolish a castle as a formation of Roman soldiers raise their shields to fend off a volley of flaming arrows. Have you never seen Spartacus, the actual movie, not the fucking TV series, which I think has been cancelled? Kurt Douglas. Fucking great movie, Spartacus. And with was it Tony Hancock? No. Tony Curtis. There we go. They're saying that the game didn't do so well. I mean, fuck the people at Comic-Con. I mean, to be honest, yes. Thank you, Matty. Driven. That was it. Zola, why do I know that name? Yes, as Zola said, fiction has to be bigger than life to be interesting. Of course it does. Jesus Christ, these people are so fucking stupid. But, I mean, you know, fuck the people at Comic-Con. If they didn't like it, have you not seen... the game looks amazing. Of course they're playing the same level at E3. But to be honest, though, Comic-Con was the first time that people got their hands on with the game. And the game's not ready. It's a demo. It's not the real game. I mean, you know how many shitty demos I've played? I mean, people... Right, listen. People have said that the Dead Rising demo that we got when the with the Xbox 360, they said that game was shit. They didn't like it. But people bought the fucking game in droves. They bought two. Oh, excuse me. And they bought the other version of two. People bought shitloads of copies of Dead Rising 2. There was fucking outcry over Dead Rising 2, the fact that you couldn't play as Frank West. And then we got the other game where you could play as Frank West, which was the game that everyone wanted in the first place. Fucking people are stupid bastards. But yeah, I mean, it's a demo. Give it a break. It's useless fucking idiots, I swear to fucking God. Alright, Microsoft confirms Xbox One Gamescom event. Microsoft confirmed that it will hold an Xbox One Gamescom showcase event on August 20th. The showcase will be hosted by corporate vice presidents Phil Spencer and Phil Harrison. Phil Harrison, why do I... both these guys. Volition. Oh, Jesus Christ. The guy who did Burnout, I think. I don't know. I know the names from somewhere. I know Phil Harrison. Phil Spencer, why do I know that one? They're trying to get hands on a range of Xbox One titles, speaks. Didn't Phil Harrison work for Sony? Speakers with developers for the first here are Gamescom News. This one marks Microsoft's return to Gamescom after skipping the show in 2012. Earlier this week, Microsoft's Mark Whitten announced that the independent devs can self-publish on Xbox One and confirmed more details on the program timeline will be revealed at Gamescom. Microsoft said back in May that Xbox One will have 15 exclusive games in its first year, not all of which have been announced. While nothing has been confirmed, Gamescom could be where we find out more. And hopefully, we've only got a few more. I mean, it seems like we've got a whole load more of these shows and events and stuff to show off this stuff. Gamescom will run from August 21st to the 25th in Cologne, Germany. Both Nintendo and Sony will be also attend. I heard about this. I was like, they say about game. Yeah, I thought it was something else, but it's just Gamescom, and you know, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. You know, more information about stuff we are getting. But you know, I don't know. I mean, if it's going to be interesting, it will be interesting what they show us. But it just does make me wonder about certain things if we are going to go down the old route of, all right, what the hell is that? The shitty games that we got when we first got the Xbox 360 that, done by Rare, who, you know, went on to do, the Avatar stuff. But I don't know. We'll wait and see. Let's find something else for you to, all right. Here we go. Yes. Assassin's Creed 4, player station only missions detailed. Ubisoft has released the first details about the PlayStation only content it has planned for Assassin's Creed 4. The PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 versions of the open world seafaring adventure will feature 1 hour exclusive gameplay starring Olivon de Grandpierre. The female protagonist of Vita game Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation. Liberation writer Jill Murray has returned to pen the... Well, it explains why it's PlayStation exclusive, because it was a character from the Vita version, which, to be honest, I heard was terrible. Has returned to pen the... continuation of the female lady's tale in three missions that pick up just sometime after the occupation. After the conclusion of the Vita title, it is a way forward. So Evelyn is a bit older. Well, I'm not surprised, because it's assuming that she's supposed to be. I don't know. I'm thinking out loud again. AC4 leader writer Darby McDevitt said in a post on Ubisoft's blog. It's not directly related to the end of her story. If Assassin's Creed 4 is like a novel, Evelyn's missions are like a side story. Explaining how these missions are made possible, McDevitt added, the present day is set in Abstergo Entertainment, which is this fun, hip company to work for at first, and you're able to access Evelyn's stuff before the co-workers are working on retrieving different genetic memories from all kinds of different people. Assassin's Creed 4 will launch on October 29th in the US and PlayStation 1. November 1st in the UK on the PlayStation 3. Yeah, so basically, we're getting it a few days after, as we usually do. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed 4. I'm not too fussed about the PlayStation exclusives. I mean, if you have it on PlayStation, or you want it on PlayStation, and you know about this character, then pick it up on the PlayStation. But if not, I'm going to play it on the Xbox with everyone else. All right, let's find some more stuff. Here we go, yeah. Microsoft prices UK Xbox One games at £50. Microsoft has priced its first-party Xbox One games at £49.99 in the UK. Haven't recently confirmed that it'll offer software for the upgrade... for the upcoming console at $59.99. Just under $60. The company has begun listing prices on its online store in the UK. Microsoft developed titles such as Forza 5, Kinect Sports Rivals will cost £50 but Microsoft published games such as Rise, Son of Rome, and Dead Rising 3. Accessories such as the Xbox One's wireless controller and the Play and Charge kit have yet to be priced, but you know they're going to be fucking expensive anyway. Except for the Play and Charge kit. In February, Sony Computer Entertainment's America CEO Jack Trenton told CNBC and that PlayStation 4 games will range from 99 cents to $60 for the full retail titles. SCE Worldwide Studios president Shuhei Yoshida this in an interview conducted with Kotaku at E3's last month. Activision and Ubisoft also declined to offer next-gen software pricing plans when contacted by Kotaku. However, EA Chief Operating Officer Peter Moore suggested that during an E3 analyst call that his firm won't be raising the cost of games, noting you see a $60 price for a next-gen game, whereas we believe with digital downloads, we can get 70, 80, or 90 from the consumer, but it's a $60 price point. That's not bad if he thinks that we're going to pay extra for digital games where instead of, you know, I don't know. Microsoft has confirmed that Xbox One will launch in 21 markets. Yeah, that's all the usual bullshit that everyone knows already. Something else from Microsoft as well that I saw, which was I thought was interesting. One sec, if I can just find it. Here we go. It's a follow-up. One sec. Yeah, here we go, yeah. Microsoft has officially priced the Xbox One controller headset, chat headset, and the Play and Charge kit, all of which are now up for pre-order. Basically, the Xbox One's wireless controller will cost $60, and the adding the Play and Charge kit will set you back a total of $74.99, so that's both together. If you need an extra charge kit, that will cost $24.99, and the chat headset is... So it's the same, it's $24.99. So I'm just reading this. It says, which you may want on account of Xbox One not including the headset. Xbox, well, saying that, they say it's not going to include a headset, but I have something. One sec, I'm trying to find the right article. I saw this, literally saw it before the show. So, yes, here we go. Microsoft's looking into bundling the headsets into Xbox One. Microsoft's Senior Director of Product Planning, Albert Pinello, has indicated that the company could yet reverse its decision not to bundle a headset with each Xbox One console. Earlier this week, the firm began pricing Xbox One peripherals, including the console's official mononaural headset, which would cost $25, and a plug directly into the Xbox One controller, much like their 360 predecessor. Microsoft has previously stressed that the ability of Kinect, which will come standard with every Xbox One, is to isolate voices from background noise, positioning it as an all-in-one solution for the video and audio chatting. However, this hasn't gone down well with some consumers, and Microsoft has taken note. Basically, there's a bunch of Twitter stuff here. This actually, it does make me wonder though, right? If they're thinking about bundling the headset in, what is the point of the Kinect? It makes me funny. It makes me feel funny because, all right, we have the Kinect now for the Xbox 360. There's a handful of games that people are using, and just no one fucking cares about this thing. And now you have the Xbox One, which is bundling the Kinect in it. And supposedly, can you do audio for video chat, which you can do with the current Xbox, with the current Kinect? And it's like, well, Microsoft earned themselves some brownie points by taking away the DRM thing and the locked console region stuff. All the U-turning shit that they did. But you're still putting out a console with a camera. Right, that supposedly you're going to be able to, you know, chat to and talk with, but then you're still making a headset. You're basically making, I mean, apart from the obvious, you know, PlayStation 4 is basically the PlayStation 3, but updated and more modern, but more power. Same with the Xbox. Xbox One is basically Xbox 360, slightly more modern, more power, whatever. But you're basically making a carbon copy of what you have already. No one cares about the fucking Kinect. It's a piece of shit. If there was good games on it, I would care. There's been no news on if I could use the Kinect to give commands and stuff, you know, to the ships and stuff. I would buy it because it would give me something to do. But apart from that, there's nothing. I mean, though we had the Spec Ops, the Future, Ghost Recon Future Soldier. I don't even know if that game's out. It's just I'm looking forward to the next Microsoft console after the Xbox One, if they still want to focus on this fucking camera that no one uses. I mean, every console's had a camera since the PlayStation 2 with the iToy, and there was a few things people use with that. And then we had the iToy on the PlayStation 3, which I bought. never used because there was nothing for it. PlayStation had the PlayStation Move controllers, which no one used, no one cared about, and they're still doing that same old shit. I mean, I know these fucking companies are stupid as shit. Loading times. Matt's asking chat, it says loading times been discussed on the PlayStation 4 or Xbox One yet? I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, they're talking about more RAM and power and stuff. I think I've got an article. Hang on. Give me a sec. One sec. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to the next-gen consoles, but to be honest, all this stuff that we're seeing, it just makes me wonder why. To be honest, it doesn't seem like I have the article. But yeah, I'll go into something else. Oh, here we are. This is what I'll do. Yeah, I say because I'm running out of time as well. Return to Rapture in BioShock Infinite DLC. Irrational Games has announced that the upcoming BioShock Infinite DLC will take players back to Rapture in an all-new story set before the fall of the underwater city, titled Buried at Sea. The two-part campaign add-on sees Infinite's lead character, Booker, and Elizabeth return to the setting of the original BioShock and its sequel. There's no confirmed release date, but a trailer for the content can be viewed below. Oh, there's a trailer. Oh, we'll have to download that. And I'll chat that in the Facebook group later. The Buried at Sea campaign will be available individually for £10. Oops, hang on, I scrolled too far. For £10, hang on, I have scrolled too far. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, £10 or 1,200 Microsoft points. Irrational also launched the first BioShock DLC today, dubbed Clash in the Clouds. It will feature 60 new challenges set across 4 new areas of Columbia, providing players with opportunity to access new Voxaphones, connector scopes. It's priced at £369 or 400 points. All of the DLC announced today is including the season pass. The Irrational creator Ken Levine said of the DLC, "We're really excited to offer our fans content that has been they've been asking for. With Clash in the Clouds, people get a pure action experience that takes BioShock Infinite combat to its highest challenge intensity level." But to be honest, that's all that was. This is why I didn't like this BioShock compared to the original, because all it was is action. I mean, there was stuff you could do in BioShock in the first BioShock, whereas this, it was just shooting. There was nothing to it. It was, you know, playing around with these new vats and liquid shits that we've invented, but there was nothing to it. But with the Burial at Sea episodes, we are building a Rapture-based narrative experience that is almost entirely built from scratch. Oh, I really want to shout at this cunt. I really do. I can't stand his fucking lisping fuck anyway. Right, your new DLC is going to be two parts set in Rapture, the city from the first game. Right. You made a new game set in Columbia, a city in the clouds. Why don't you make some fucking DLC mission-based in the city that you fucking put in this game, you stupid fucking cunt? Seriously, you made a whole new city, a whole new world, a whole new bunch of people, new characters, and you're going to make DLC where you go back to the first game you made, you fucking useless cunt. I need to talk to this guy because he's such a fucking dumbass. I'm going to tweet him after the show because this is not on. I mean, yes, I don't really care for BioShock Infinite anyway, but you're making DLC where you go back to the world from the first game. Why the fuck did you make BioShock Infinite where it was a whole new world and the plot twist and all this sort of bullshit that you were so happy to talk about, but you're making DLC where you go back to the city from the first game? What was the fucking point, you stupid arsehole? Jesus Christ. Matt's in the chat says, that will make the biggest difference in rather not to buy one. Yeah. Well, I mean, the loading times, I think he's still going about loading times. The loading times are not a problem. We know all the RAM and shit that we're getting with the current consoles, you'd be fine. But, you know, this is really pissing me off. What the fuck is it with these people? We've got the stupid idiots who play the games who have no fucking clue about demos, and we've got the stupid arsehole who basically everyone seems to be kissing his arse, And he's so fucking stupid. You make a new... Jesus, come on, people. I'm going to tweet this motherfucker. He better respond to me. This is so fucking stupid. You make DLC. Yes, you have the same characters from this new game. That's nice. But you don't put them in the city that you put in the first game when you were totally concerned about moving on from Rapture. You basically just... You might as well just take fucking... hold every single copy of Bioshock Infinite and just blow them all up. What's the fucking point? I mean, we had... He wants, you know, Return to Rapture. Yes, it was called Bioshock 2. It wasn't made by you, but it was a really good game. And we went back to Rapture. We've done Rapture. The whole point of Bioshock Infinite was we moved to a new city. We tell a new story. You are such a stupid motherfucking cunt. And you're lucky I don't see you because I will knock the shit out of you, you stupid bastard. Fucking, how stupid can you be with this shit? Jesus Christ. Fucking, I'm tired of these stupid ass developers who have no fucking clue. Yes, we know that the developers and the publishers and all this sort of shit, they don't listen to the fucking fans when it comes to this sort of shit. I mean, Xbox had to listen when all the fucking backlash they got from, you know, basically that, you know, Sony pulled their pants down and started smacking them on the arse. But this sort of shit, it's fucking childish. You're such a stupid arse. Why go back to the first game when you built a whole new city? You dumb arse. Jesus Christ, what a fucking loser this guy is. Really, really pissed me off. Fucking want to hit something now. I can't believe this stupid arsehole. This could be fun for the show notes. I can't write any swear words in the descriptions for next week. Pretty much going to wrap the show up now because I'm so pissed off with this shit. I really don't want to do any more show. But as usual, you know, thanks for everyone listening and downloading. Good download numbers are a bit low this week, but it's the summertime. Everyone's outside. But say, you know, listen to me live Tuesdays, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern. MoreLikeRadio.com/live. There's a whole bunch of shows on here you should listen to. Don't just download me. You know, download Conti and Kenny. You know, Old School Wrestling Review, which is on before mine. Alcohol by Volume, Mark Out Radio, Lust and Love, Hippo Juice, Fifth Circle, when it eventually comes back fully. You know, just a whole bunch of stuff. And so we'll keep on listening. But so, yeah, if you want to email us, it's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. Join a Facebook group. Get yourself in there. There's a whole bunch of people in there at the moment. Facebook.com/group/MNRGamerLobby. Also on Facebook, like our Facebook page, up to 60 likes, which is good, but you know, there's a lot of listeners and you could do a whole lot better. So, go to facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. Get on there, give us a like. You're listening to this, you know, I've said it what it is. Just, you know, get on Facebook, you know, most of you are, you know, and like it, you know, nothing stopping you. Also, on Twitter at, MNR Gaming Radio. Get on there, follow us, share with your friends, you know, get involved, people. Also, don't forget what I said, if you are into Animal Crossing, and you do like listening to, you know, listen to gaming shows, go to, iTunes and search Animal Crossing Town Hall. Also, as we have the new feed, I think it's morelikeradio.org is where you can download some of the other shows that we're putting up. So get on there, subscribe. If you know someone who's listening to the More Like Radio, like, you know, bunch of you on, you know, your friends are listening, tell them about the new feed. Make sure they're subscribed. Also, you know, as it's a new feed, we need you to leave reviews. I've left my review. I think Matty's left a review. Just get on there, leave us a review. 5 stars would be great. Email me that you've done a review and I'll read it out in the air. You know, get involved, people. I'm working on stuff for next week's show, but I was saying, I've just got me a bit of paper here that I wrote some stuff down. This could be one of the things I'm thinking of, but I'll confirm it later when I sat down. What do you expect to drop off with the next-gen consoles? So, you know, what sort of stuff do you think we'll see? Or will we see less movie tie-ins, that sort of stuff? Also, as I said, you know, I cheated with Animal Crossing just to move the time along a bit. So how do you feel about games not having cheat codes or cheating abilities? I mean, is it a big thing? I mean, I know it's sort of been not outlawed, but I mean, there are games that do have codes and stuff, but you know, that could be one. And there's other stuff as well, but which I can say to a later date. But once I've figured out what I'm going to do and what it's going to be, I'll let you know. But I say this is, my name's Ashley. This is Antisocial Game Radio. I've had a good shout. I feel nice and good about myself. Now I'm going to tweet some cunt about why he's a stupid fuck. And I will see you all again next week. Later, people.
Ashley brought anything to the table?
Oh my God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy
a
shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
Area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate.